First reading this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 2 verses 10 to 12 and chapter 3 verses 3 to 14, which starts on page 330 in the Pew Bibles. David died, and where it was buried in David's city. He had been king of Israel for 40 years, ruling 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. Solomon succeeded his father David as king, and his royal power was firmly established. Solomon made an alliance with the king of Egypt by marrying his daughter. Solomon loved the Lord and followed the instructions of his father David, but he also slaughtered animals and offered them as sacrifices on various altars. On one occasion, he went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices because that was where the most famous altar was. He had offered hundreds of burnt offerings there in the past. That night, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and asked him, "What would you like me to give you?" Solomon answered, "You always showed great love for my father David, your servant, and he was good, loyal, and honest in his relations with you. And you have continued to show him your great and constant love by giving him a son who today rules in his place. O Lord God, you have let me succeed my father as king, even though I am very young and don't know how to rule. Here I am among the people you have chosen to be your own, a people who are so many that they cannot be counted. So give me the wisdom I need to rule your people with justice and to know the difference between good and evil. Otherwise, how would I ever be able to rule this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, and so he said to him, "Because you have asked for the wisdom to rule justly instead of long life for yourself or riches or the death of your enemies, I will do what you have asked. I will give you more wisdom and understanding than anyone has ever had before or will ever have again. I will also give you what you have not asked for. All your life you will have wealth and honour, more than that of any other king. And if you obey me and keep my laws and commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." Solomon woke up and realised that God had spoken to him in the dream. Then he went to Jerusalem and stood in front of the Lord's covenant box and offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord, and that he gave a feast for all his officials. Right, the second reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 to 20. "You yourselves used to be in the darkness, but since you have become the Lord's people, you are in the light. So you must live like people who belong to the light. For it is the light that brings a rich harvest of every kind of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Try to learn what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with worthless things that people do, things that belong to the darkness. Instead, bring them out to the light. It is really too shameful even to talk about the things that they do in secret. And when all things are brought out into the light, then their true nature is clearly revealed. For anything that is clearly revealed becomes light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, and rise from death, and Christ will shine on you.'" So be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people, but like wise people. Make good use of every opportunity you have, because these are evil days. Don't be fools, then, but try to find out what the Lord wants you to do. Do not get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with the words of psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Since hymns and psalms to the Lord with praise in your hearts. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always give thanks for everything to God the Father. Amen.
Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt," which reflects Proverbs 17:28. "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." Something I've been trying to put into practice. I heard somebody say that we have two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we should speak, which I think is pretty sound advice. Ephesians 5:15 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." And back in the first book of Kings, we have Solomon asking for wisdom as he begins his reign as king, taking over from his courageous father, David. He was young, and we don't know exactly how old he was, but we think about things differently when we are young, and it shows some wisdom that he was asking for God's help at this time, not just thinking, "Right, now I know what I'm going to do." I was reading an article yesterday by Caitlin Moran, a journalist, who was talking about the difference between being a child and being an adult, and how you think things are going to be when you're an adult, the things you're going to get away with, the things you're going to enjoy, the things you're going to do, whatever you feel like. But actually, when you get to be an adult, you don't want to do any of those things anymore. I don't know about if you can remember when you were 5 or 10 or perhaps even 15 and you thought, "Right, when I'm grown up, I'm going to..." For my dad, he remembers wanting to eat condensed milk on bread regularly when he was an adult. He thought, "This is a treat I hardly ever get as a child. When I'm grown up, I'm going to eat this all the time." When you're young, you want to stay up late, watch all the TV you like, go out with your friends. Now, if I can get to bed by 9 o'clock, I consider it a triumphant achievement. 8:30 is like winning the lottery. It's absolutely wonderful. We see things very differently. The advice from Ephesians 5 talks about how we should live as believers, what our moral values should be like. But the Old Testament links wisdom with moral values. Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long will you simple ones love your simple ways?" One commentary says, "In the book of Proverbs, simple one, or a fool, is not someone with a mental deficiency, but someone with a character deficiency, such as rebellion, laziness, or anger. The fool is not stupid, but he or she is unable to tell right from wrong, or good from bad." You may or may not link the two in your own mind or experience, but there is this connection made both in the Old and New Testament. Back in 1 Kings, Solomon, Israel's third king, asked for wisdom to rule the nation. He describes himself in verse 7 as only a little child, although, as I say, we don't know how old he actually was. He didn't ask God to do his job for him or to make it easier, but he asked to be equipped for the job, for the situation he found himself in. This could be a good prayer request for many of us, to be asked to be equipped for the situation we find ourselves in, the role we find ourselves in, the task ahead, rather than, actually, could somebody else do this? Then, as God equips us and we grow in experience, we grow in wisdom as well ourselves. In James's letter, chapter 1, verse 5, he writes, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Solomon would later write in Proverbs 4, verse 7, "Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding." David had taught his son well, and Solomon sought wisdom above all else. But I wonder too if Solomon knew of some of David's mistakes of the past. If you read David's story, it's quite a colourful and eventful life story. And I wonder if Solomon not only learnt some things from David, but whether he saw some of his bad examples too, and perhaps learnt from them. It's difficult, isn't it, to learn from other people's mistakes. It's hard enough sometimes to learn from our own. But other people's, we think, well, we would handle it differently. The outcome might be different for us. We're not as silly as all that. And as wisdom was Solomon's priority, God also gave him great wealth and honour. We can read that as well as being king of Israel, he was also a diplomat, a trader, a collector, a patron of the arts, and he wrote Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, many of the Proverbs, and a couple of Psalms. And as if that wasn't enough, he also built the temple in Jerusalem, which David had wanted to build, but it was passed on to Solomon. Unfortunately, later in his life, he married a number of pagan women and allowed his wives to distract him from God. However wise a man he was, he also had his weaknesses, and his loyalty failed a little towards God. Sometimes people can be highly effective and successful at work or in their careers and professional life, but not so good in their personal life. Hopefully, if we're living Christ-centered lives, where that's the main thing, we can be effective and well-balanced in every area of our life. It can be easy to compartmentalize, and many people do this. We are, of course, slightly different people, act in a slightly different way depending on where we are and what we're doing. But we shouldn't be completely different. And our reading from Ephesians gives us some pointers on this. If we are Christians first and foremost, then our faith, beliefs and values should affect our home, our social, our work, our volunteering, educational, church, and relationship life. Of course, the challenges in these different situations and areas vary greatly. Some are easier than others. You can be a very patient, calm person at home when you're sitting with the papers on a Saturday morning out in the back garden with a cup of tea. What a lovely picture. But at work, when somebody's shouting across the room, you can discover that you're not such a patient person after all. And I find myself at times praying for the fruit of the Spirit more in some situations than in others. But as Paul writes to the Ephesians, live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. This, in a way, echoes Jesus' words about us being salt and light wherever we are, about making a difference, about being sometimes the contrast, bringing a different flavour to a situation. And if we're the ones who are honest, full of integrity, helpful and calm wherever we are, whoever we're dealing with, it not only reflects well on us, but on Christ too. Paul also mentions not getting drunk, which is good advice for anyone. This is not only a temporary high or relaxation or way of forgetting, but can lead to acts that we might otherwise not get involved in and may later regret. No, Paul says that we should be filled with the Spirit, quite a different experience. And one commentary says this: just as you have left the whole burden of your sin and have rested on the finished work of Christ, so leave the whole burden of your life and service and rest upon the present inworking of the Holy Spirit. Give yourself up, morning by morning, to be led by the Holy Spirit, and go forth praising and at rest, leaving Him to manage you and your day. Cultivate the habit all through the day of joyfully depending upon and obeying Him, expecting Him to guide, to enlighten, to reprove, to teach, to use, and to do in and with you what He wills. Count upon His working as a fact, although altogether apart from sight or feeling. Only let us believe in and obey the Holy Spirit as the ruler of our lives and cease from the burden of trying to manage ourselves. Then shall the fruit of the Spirit appear in us, as He wills to the glory of God. It's something that I think takes practice to rely on God's leading throughout the day. And to be salt and light as a Christian can mean stepping back from things around us, from not getting involved in things that other people are doing. We might be called to be different, to speak up, or to keep quiet, to not involve ourselves in gossiping or disputes in the workplace or in our social lives, or on the other hand, to speak up when injustice is being done. It can be awkward, challenging, risk-taking, but better in the long run. And often having Christian values, even now in our society, can be linked to maturity and wisdom. Self-control in itself, which is promoted in the Christian life, is something that seems to have been put aside in many areas. But simply keeping out of trouble, I think, has a lot going for it. Wisdom comes with respect from God, for God and his directions, with knowledge, with experience, with listening to others. And I expect you'll have your own thoughts on what wisdom means to you and who you think's wise. We all make mistakes. We all make wrong choices. But God gives us the offer of a fresh start through Christ and wisdom for the future, but leaves the choice to us.